This is Risky Business News, a podcast with cybersecurity news read and prepared by Catherine Campano. Risky Business News is brought to you this week by Proofpoint. In today's top story, academics from ETH Zurich have published details on Tuesday at a new side channel attack that impacts modern CPUs from Intel and AMD. The research, named Red Bleed, is the latest in a long line of side channel attacks impacting speculative execution, a feature of modern CPUs where the processors perform data computations in advance as a way to gain processing speed. While previous side-channel attacks abused jump and call instructions to leak data from inside CPU caches, the Red Bleed attacks proves for the first time that return instructions can be abused in the same way. The Red Bleed attack is of particular note because some of the defenses put forward after the initial disclosures of the Meltdown and Spectre vulnerabilities in 2018 centered around a new programming technique called Redpoline that tried to replace vulnerable jump and call instructions with return operations. The ETH Zurich team said that Intel CPUs 3 to 6 years old and AMD processors from 1 to 11 years old are affected by the Red Bleed attack, but that both Intel and AMD have released firmware patches to address the issue. And since we're on the topic of security updates, yesterday was this month's Patch Tuesday, and we saw patches being rolled out by Citrix, VMware, SAP, Adobe, and, of course, Microsoft, which patched 86 vulnerabilities, including an actively exploited zero-day. But one zero-day that wasn't patched was one in the Android kernel. This bug was revealed on Twitter last week, just before the Android project released its monthly security updates, and according to tech news site Android Police, the researchers said they never reported the issue to Google. Moving on now to news on hacks and breaches, customers of the Uniswap crypto exchange platform have lost millions of US dollars worth of cryptocurrency following a phishing campaign that took place over the past few days. According to early estimates from blockchain security firm Slowmist, which tracked some of the stolen funds to the attackers' wallets, the losses are currently estimated to be around 7,500 Ether, which are worth around $8 million. In another incident, the European Central Bank said on Tuesday that its president, Christine Lagarde, was targeted in an attempted cyber attack. According to a report, Ms. Lagarde was allegedly contacted by the attacker via an SMS message that appeared to come from former German Chancellor Angela Merkel asking her to initiate a conversation via WhatsApp. Ms. Lagarde discovered the ruse after calling the real Ms. Merkel to confirm. The ECB said that no information was compromised as a result. In tech-related news, Microsoft clarified on Monday that its decision to reverse its block on VBA macro scripts was only a temporary solution as the company works out some technical wrinkles. The company initially announced plans to block VBA macros in 5 Office applications in February, but said last week that it was reversing its decision, resulting in huge backlash from cybersecurity experts who argued that the VBA macro block had actually worked and forced malware gangs to shift away from macro malware. However, despite classifying the current reversal on VBA macros as temporary, Microsoft did not say when the VBA macro block would return. Also in Microsoft News, the company formally launched its Windows Auto Patch service, a feature for its enterprise customers that could be used to automate the installation of Windows updates on large fleets of computers. Windows Auto Patch is now available for Microsoft customers with E3 and E5 licenses. In other news, US tech giant IBM has pulled its services for US right-wing video portal Rumble. The company moved to the platform Rumble after an inquiry from CyberScoop, which asked why IBM was helping Russia Today air its propaganda through its Rumble accounts. Also in tech news, the price of an IPv4 address has almost doubled over the past year, according to SIDN, the Netherlands official domain register. Prices have gone up from $5 per IP address in 2015 to around $25-$30 last year and $50-$60 today, showing the growing scarcity in the IPv4 market. In government and policy-related news, the German Federal Ministry of the Interior has published its plan to revamp the country's approach to cybersecurity. Among the proposed changes are initiatives to move the responsibility for the country's cybersecurity defense from local governments to the federal government's BKI agency, as well as giving German cybersecurity agencies the power to respond to cyberattacks. The new plan will go under public debate and needs to pass through the German parliament. Elsewhere, the Chinese government passed new legislation last week that introduced new rules for companies that send the data of Chinese citizens to servers abroad. Any Chinese tech company that has sent the data of more than 100,000 Chinese citizens abroad will be subject to security checks by the Chinese Cybersecurity Authority, also known as CAC. The CAC will primarily check if companies took steps to protect the exported data against hacks, interception, or tampering. The new law will enter into effect on September 1, 2022, but will apply retroactively to all companies that have exported user data abroad after January 1, 2021. In cybercrime and threat intelligence news, a growing number of ransomware gangs has been spotted over the last month. This includes new gangs like Lilith, Cheers, Yan Luoyang, Omega, Red Alert, and Bian Lian. Also in news about new threat actors, a group calling itself NWGen appears to have split from the Lapsus gang and is now carrying out new attacks. According to Microsoft's Christopher Glyer, the group uses the same threadcraft used by the original Lapsus gang, which would make it easier to detect and mitigate possible attacks on targeted organizations. According to security researcher Kevin Beaumont, NWGen appears to be dabbling in ransomware too, which might be very bad news for some organizations. Also in threat intelligence news, Microsoft has published a report on a large-scale phishing campaign that used reverse proxy servers for its phishing sites. This technique, also known as adversary-in-the-middle phishing, allowed threat actors to obtain not only credentials from victims, but also their authentication cookies that are usually generated after victims go through a legitimate 2FA challenge. Microsoft said this campaign has been running since September 2021, has hit more than 10,000 organizations, and has been linked to several BC attacks. Also in ransomware news, the operators of the AlphaV ransomware as a service portal have launched a dedicated section on their leak site that allows anyone to search through all the data the group has stolen and leaked from past victims. In other news, CrowdStrike said it identified a threat actor carrying out a phishing campaign that impersonated various prominent cybersecurity companies. CrowdStrike wasn't able to specifically identify the threat actor behind this operation, but said that various technical details suggest this threat actor uses tactics that are similar to those of the Wizard Spider group, also known as the County Ransomware Gang. In malware-related news, the team at DFIR Report has published a technical analysis on Monday on a brute force campaign that targeted the admin accounts of MSSQL database servers. The researchers said the goal of this campaign was to compromise databases and then deploy a crypto mining app to generate profits for the attackers. In APTs and cyber espionage news, in a security alert published on Monday, Ukraine's SAR team said that it detected a new spear phishing operation carried out by a Russian threat actor known as UAC0056. According to the agency, this campaign is being carried out from hacked Ukrainian government accounts and aims to infect recipients with CobalStrike beacon backdoors. Also in a report published on Monday, the Google Tag team has published its actions against disinformation efforts that took place on Google services in the month of May 2022. The Google Threat Analysis Group said actions were taken against accounts linked to threat groups operating out of China, Iran, and Russia. And last but not least, Intrusion Truth, the mysterious group that has doxed the identities and real-life affiliations of at least four Chinese cyber espionage groups, hinted on Tuesday that they have a new report coming out soon with more information about a group based in Chengdu, China. This concludes the news section of our podcast. In our sponsors section, Shara DeGrippo, Proofpoint's Vice President of Threat Research and Detection, is here to talk about some of the recent trends in email attacks, including some bad news for dairy lovers and the dairy industry.
A couple of things that we have seen looking over the past year on the threat landscape. We saw that threat actors are really heavily hitting things like OneDrive, Google Drive, Dropbox, SendGrid. They're leveraging those to host their malware payloads. And in fact, 14% of the campaigns that we saw in 2021 used regular legitimate file hosting and collaboration sites to put their malware on. So lock down your OneDrive. OneDrive was in fact the most leveraged hosting site of all of the legitimate hosting sites that we evaluated, more threat actors choose Microsoft OneDrive over any other service. So it's winning with threat actors, interestingly. We've also seen a continued use of thread hijacking. This is where threat actors go into an email box and just start replying to stuff. It's automated, of course. We've seen it used by Bozloader, IcedID, Raccoon Stealer, the lovely named Raccoon Stealer, as well as the perennial favorite Squirrel Waffle. A lot of these traditional kind of commodity malware families are starting to leverage the ability to go into inboxes and just start replying to existing threads. What that does, obviously, is it gives the recipient the idea that the person they were just talking to is now replying to them and sending them either a link or an attachment saying something like, hey, could you take a look at this? And of course, it seems legitimate because it's really coming from somebody that you've been speaking with and they're replying to a thread that you were actually having. And that's been really popular lately. We've seen most of the major malware families adopt some kind of thread hijacking module in their standard deployments. And in weirder news, on the dairy landscape, we found a pretty interesting campaign with a threat actor using social engineering around the theme of increased tariffs for different kinds of milk. We know that hipsters love oat milk. Well, in this particular case, threat actors were saying that they've had to increase tariffs by 4% for cow milk cheese, whereas goat cheese prices will remain the same. Click here to see the new price list. I'm not sure exactly who is that interested in price lists for cheese, but threat actors are using it and they're asking people to click to see new cheese prices. But don't worry, those of you who love the goat cheese will not be paying extra.
This is it for today's show. You can subscribe to this podcast by going to risky.biz. And to our newsletter by going to riskybiznews.substack.com.